Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds so that we may clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As you probably heard from throughout this service, we are in the season of Advent. Advent is basically the four Sundays before Christmas. And so it's a lead up. It's a time for us to prepare for the coming birth of Jesus, or the celebration of the birth, because of course that happened 2,000 years ago. Well, over 2,000 years ago. So, but I want us this morning to look closer at what Advent is about. We're, interestingly enough, going to use the Old Testament, that passage from Isaiah, to influence how we're going to look. And one of the things I want us to look at is the adventure. You haven't guessed. What's the first five of Advent? Is in adventure. Often when we think of our Christian life, we may think of it as going through the trials. Many of us could list some of the trials we've been through. And probably the older you are, the more the trials, the sufferings, the persecutions that you have gone through. Sorry, young people, that's ahead of you. But you could concentrate on those. As I was chatting with Ray yesterday, one of the things we often do is we concentrate on our sufferings and overlook all the great blessings, all the wonderful things that God does for us. And the evil one wants us to do that. He doesn't want us focusing on what Jesus has done. So I want us to see Advent as part of our adventure with Jesus. And remember, it's not an adventure. It's not just your adventure. It's your adventure with Jesus. And that is what the Christian life is about. So when we talk about Advent, Advent has two properties to it. We look back at Jesus' coming, when God became one of us, when God became flesh. So there's a backward looking. And we often say, people say, don't concentrate on what's in the past. But we as Christians do. Not so much concentrate on what happened in our past, but what happened in the past with Jesus. What's happened in the past with God throughout Scripture. But we're not just looking back, we're at the same time looking forward to when Christ comes again. We're looking forward to the resurrection of the dead. We're looking forward to the new heaven and earth. And in Advent, it may seem a bit strange, but we're looking in both directions at the same time. If you listen to what Isaiah said in those verses we read, he was looking forward to the Messiah coming. And what he said is going to happen when the Messiah came, happened when Jesus came, but not everything happened. Things started. We're not yet up to where the wolf lays down with the lamb, that promised kingdom, but it's started. It's as though we're here, but we're not there yet. And that's part of the adventure that we're looking at. We're on this journey. We are sons and daughters of God Most High because of Jesus. There is already a heaven and earth, a new heaven and earth, without sin, without disease, without death, that we are headed towards. It has been destined for us. That is all there, but we're now on that journey to it. And in Advent, we remind ourselves this is the adventure that we are on. So to help us with that, I want to look at four aspects of our adventure. This is no way meant to be exhaustive. There are a lot of other things you can concentrate on. The first I want to look at is the adventure of expectation. That passage that we heard in Isaiah, which also that first verse was mentioned in the Romans passage as well. You may have heard about that shoot coming out of the stump of Jesse, out of the root of Jesse. You may have seen this sort of effect in fires, have you? Where things are all burnt down and then suddenly little shoots come through. And if you go back and visit that area many years later, there are trees now where there was ashes. There's an expectation that God is going to do stuff. Do you wake up in the morning thinking, what exciting things is the Lord going to do today? Maybe one of our prayers each morning can be, Lord, make sure my eyes are open so I see what it is that you are doing. That's a sense of expectation. Expect God to do mighty things. As we read Scripture, this is one of the reasons we really do need to get stuck into Scripture. One of the things that burdens my heart as a pastor and talking with many of the other pastors in town is how to encourage our congregations and we ourselves to read more Scripture, to really digest it, to immerse ourselves in it. Because in Scripture, one of the things that we learn is that God keeps his promises. Okay? He is reliable. The other thing we learn is that as followers of Jesus, we put our trust in our Lord Jesus, and in particular, his faithfulness. Sometimes I think we fall into a bit of a trap worrying about how big my faith is. Do I have the faith to take on what Jesus wants me to? You know, do I have the faith to get out of bed today and take on all that may come? And my answer to that is no. I don't have that faith. I want to have that faith, but I struggle. But what I am assured of, what is a certainty for me, is that my Lord Jesus is faithful, that he will be with me, he will get me through, and that when I mess up, he will forgive me. It's his faithfulness is that rock that adds to that expectation each day of what are we going to see. This is the hope we as Christians have, that even when the whole world is falling down around our shoulders, we can be singing praises. Not because the stuff falling down doesn't matter, but because we know that God is in charge, even if it doesn't look like it. We know that our Lord Jesus is faithful. He has promised he will never leave us. He has promised we will be with him. So death itself has lost its sting. That's part of that great hope. That expectation of what is the Lord going to do with me and with my friends and family now? There's, for those of you involved in the leadership at Alton Teen Challenge, what's the expectation for next year? What is the Lord going to do? I don't know about you, but sometimes I'd like a little yellow post-it note on the fridge for him telling me, you know, next Wednesday I'd like you to be at, you know, or something like that, or this tough time you're going through, that's only going to last another 2 days. I'd be all good, but that's not how it works, is it? It's we put our trust in him and he works things out for us. He doesn't promise. One of the promises we don't have is he doesn't promise to tell us why. He promises to be there, to be with you. You will never be alone. That is the expectation, that I will go through every day of my life with my Lord Jesus with me. The adventure of transformation, of change. Change can be one of those things we wrestle with. We like things how the way they are. We often like in church that we have things the way we we like it. We don't like change too much. Though maybe some of you, there are some people who just thrive on change. They want things to be new all the time. But what are we talking about here in this adventure? What are the things we say about being a Christian is that you come as you are. I think we still got a sticker on the door that says something like that. Come as you are. You don't have to get yourself right to come to Jesus, do you? You don't have to dress the right way. You don't have to be fit. You don't have to be smart enough. You don't have to have a Bible degree. You don't have to have scored well at high school. Not that any of those things are wrong, but they're not a requirement. Who you are right now is acceptable in coming to Jesus, whether you're homeless or whether you're rich. You are acceptable because it's not you or me that earned salvation, it's Jesus. He's done it all. That is the great good news, is that it is not up to us. We give him our trust. So we come as you are. But sometimes we forget that it doesn't stay there, does it? Christianity doesn't promise that you come as you are and God will leave you as you are. Relationships don't work that way. Not too long ago, my wife and I, we celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. We've been together for quite a few years. Though when I talk to other people here, we're just beginners compared to the years some of you have been together. But when you enter into a relationship with someone else, you're not doing it to change them. I hope not. That's not a good thing. But the inevitable result of a relationship is that you are changed. I do believe that when I am with my wife, she makes me a better me. And I hope that through my actions that I make her a better her. You see that? And that should be the same with friendships. And good relationships are affirming and building up, aren't they? So imagine the relationship with our Lord Jesus. That's got to change us, not destroy us. What happens is we become the person that we were designed to be, that we were meant to be. Not this person that is wrecked with sin. You know, the messiness of this sinful world, those thoughts and desires, those actions that I feel like I'm watching myself do them and can't believe how dumb I am at times. Through the Holy Spirit, through our relationship with our Lord Jesus, we become the person he wants us to be, which is who we were designed to be. It's not like some of the Eastern religions. In some of those, the whole concept is to be absorbed into God, to lose yourself. That's not what Christianity is talking about. Yes, God wants you as part of the family. We have all that language of Jesus in you and you in Jesus. It may seem like you're being absorbed, but this is part of how you become the real you. It is not that you lose who you are. You become more who you are than you've ever been. And that's one of those things we are looking forward to in the new heaven and the new earth that is to come. We will truly be ourselves. No sin, no death, no pain, no suffering. We will live in the presence of God 24/7. Transformation. That is where we're going to end. There's going to be some changes in me to get there. And if we are not changing, then that should concern us, shouldn't it? Are we listening to the Spirit? Are we following in his path? We can often find Scripture is a good mirror to look at and see, how are we proceeding just now? Oh, I seem to have an area, a problem here. Bring it to the Lord. Pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to work on that for you. The adventure that we are on is one that is focused on the cross and the resurrection. As we journey as Christians with our eyes always focused on the cross, on Jesus and Him crucified, on our resurrected Lord, we will see transformation on the in the images you're seeing. On the left is desolation, the world of sin and death. On the right, peace and glory, the new creation that Jesus talks about. We are moving from one to the other. Now, we are bringing heaven to earth. Now, we are part of the new creation. Now, but we're not there yet. Does that make sense? This is that journey concept. But it's not a journey where we wander around aimlessly. It's one where we focus on the cross, on what Jesus has done for us. The adventure of peace. Strangely, I couldn't find any real photographs of wolves with lambs, because you know what wolves tend to do to lambs? It's sort of what most of us would do to bacon, you know. One of the advantages of AI, you can ask it to do that, and it did for me. So, but this is the concept that Isaiah uses for peace. Things that make no sense, you know, that hostility that's in the world. Wolves attack lambs because they are wolves. It's who they are. They're not evil. They're not malicious. It's what they do. But there will be a time where this peace pervades all of creation. That's that time to come, the one we're looking forward to. And we're on an adventure of peace. Now, one of the mistakes we sometimes make is that we think that peace is the absence of war. Often the media puts it that way. That's not how Scripture sees it. Peace is a restoration of having good relationships with. If Ray and I are at peace, using the biblical concept, it's not that we're no longer beating each other up. Well, it is that. It is that, of course. But it's at that our relationship is not just restored, it is really good. We enjoy our company together. Yes, and we do. That is what this adventure is. How do we come to this peace which we've already been given? But with our sinful natures, with our journey, we still got work to do, don't we? We take our relationships for granted. We take our Lord for granted. We don't work at this sort of peace. So, our Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It's one of his titles, isn't it? So it's no surprising that peace is something that as we're journeying with him, we're going to find out a lot about. Peace with God. Think about that. Romans 5 tells us that, you know, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It continues through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the things Jesus has done for you and me. Peace with God. So this is not just that God no longer wants to throw a lightning bolt at you. It's what I was just talking about with Ray and I. That is how you now are with God. You are family. He's not angry with you. He wants to hear from you. We pray because our Lord wants to hear from us, and we know our prayers are heard because we have peace with God. We just have to learn how to be better at it. That's part of that journey. When things go wrong, do you just overflow with anger, or do you start talking to your Lord? Do you take that anger and say, Lord, I know you don't want me to be angry here. Take my anger. And if you're like me, what I also like to do is tell him what it is that I'm angry about. This all went horribly wrong. Let me tell you about it. You're allowed to do those prayers. Many of the Psalms and in other places of Scripture are very much those prayers. God, you promised that Israel would be here forever and our temple just got destroyed. What's going on? Where are they taking that anger and that frustration? To God. Take your struggles, take your joys. When things go really well, who's the first person you should be talking to? Your Lord. This one is the struggle. There should also be peace among his people. We are told in Scripture, they shall know you are Christians because you love one another. Are we good at that? No. If we were good at that, then there would be peace among. This is what part of that journey is. How do we as the body of Christ, and I'm talking about that at a congregation level, I'm talking about that as a community level, how do we as the people of God in Esperance, how do we as the people of God in Western Australia, you can take it at all different levels, how do we have peace with one another? How do we work together to share the gospel? That's part of the journey, and we're going to get it wrong at times. Do we forgive one another? Do we offer forgiveness? Do we receive forgiveness? One of the things that is often a big problem, I think, in our churches, and if you're like me, we find it easy to forgive, but we don't always receive forgiveness. Often it's, I haven't done anything wrong. We become defensive rather than accepting, or rather than working out how do we fix this relationship. It's not about who's right and wrong. It's about what do we need to do. Have I hurt you? Gee, I'm sorry about that. What can we do to fix that? See the difference? That's building peace. Remember in the Beatitudes, one of the things Jesus says is, blessed are the peacemakers. How different would our community in Esperance be? How different would our world be if everyone who followed Jesus saw being a peacemaker as one of their primary goals? Just think about that. May also make you a bit sad at how slack we are at that area. But we're also looking forward to that perfect peace that is going to come. That perfect peace after the resurrection, in that new heaven and earth, when God resides with us. Peace will be perfected because God is with us. And we are journeying towards that. The adventure of belonging. Do you feel lonely? I must say at times, yes, I do. When I had kids at home, not so much. But even in a crowded room, if you're like me, I'm a bit of a, maybe a bit more than a bit of, I'm an introvert. I often like to be alone. Do you feel that you don't belong? Christianity is not a solo adventure. It is not a journey we are meant to do by ourselves. It doesn't mean that bad stuff won't happen to you as an individual. That's going to happen at times. But some of us, and we've had people here in our congregation who have gone through some tough medical times. Even just recently, nowhere near as tough. My wife Karen had her knee replaced. And one of the things she said that gave her comfort, I hope you found comfort that I was there with her, but one of the other things that gave her comfort was knowing that people were praying for her. The texts and the emails and that belonging. Christianity, is it about your walk with Jesus? It is, but if you just leave it there, that's a solo thing. It's how do we as the body of Christ work. When you're soloing it, that's not the way it was designed to be. It's why you find when you, and it's one of the things we learn going from Greek into our English translations, is that often the you that is said is plural. Yet we read it as just me. It's talking to us as the body of Christ, wherever we find ourselves. You are part of a community and you belong. Paul uses that wonderful analogy of the body. You know, the eye can't be the foot, but you need both. We are the body of Christ. We are never alone. We belong because Jesus is with us. He has told us he will never leave us. If you end up in the deepest, darkest pit, whether metaphorically because of the world crashing down around you, or actually many Christians in many lands are locked up and put into dark pits, you're not alone. Jesus is with you. And he is faithful and God keeps his promises. You are never alone. We are his body. We are interconnected, but we're not identical. We're not all big toes. Well, some of us have to be big toes, otherwise. But we're not all big toes, are we? We are different. We have different strengths and weaknesses. And when you put those different strengths and weaknesses together, you can do so much more. As we come to the end of our look at our adventure with Jesus, it's an adventure that continues. You may be tempted to say that it is an adventure that ends once Christ returns, once the resurrection of the dead has occurred, once we're in that new heaven and earth. You couldn't be more wrong. This is just the prelude. Our real life, our real identity, our real joy, our real peace is yet to begin. The adventure that we will have in that future day will blow your minds. It is going to be so spectacular that words can't express. And it's all tied to our Lord Jesus through his death and resurrection. So as you go from church today, as you go into this week, the rest of this year, into next year, look at your journey as an adventure with Jesus. Focus on him. Learn more about him. Not just in Advent, but every day of your life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.